to know too.
Laura, I'd like to ask you about when your daughters were growing up, as they were growing up, what kinds of expectations or dreams or thoughts that you had about what you would like for them as they grew up to be women, what you would like for them?
I just wanted all of them to go to college, to finish college, no matter what profession they wanted. If they were going to dig ditches, I think college broadens your outlook overall. You don't necessarily have to, to designate one profession or one thing that you're going to hem yourself into, but I just hoped that they would all do that, and one did. The other two went for various things. One is a dental technician, and one actually had a book published, and one works for the telephone company. But only one. I never made plans for my children. I feel that each child has a right to plan their own life. I did guide them towards education, maybe more than guided, but I do feel education is important. I think everyone should go to college. I think it should be mandatory and available, just like the first few grades of school, because I do feel that you're exposed to more different types of learning, and I think we'd have a better world if we pursued higher education for everybody, no matter what profession you were planning to. If you were going to be a dishwasher, it wouldn't matter. You should still go to college.
Did you try to encourage them to think about work rather than getting married right away, or was that?
Tried to encourage them to think about going to school. All my children were very eager to go to work, which they all worked part-time. In fact, my youngest one, who's with the telephone company, started in her last year at high school working part-time. She graduated at 16, and it was very difficult for her to get a job because she was not old enough for most of the things that she was qualified to do. And as I say, she got married at 16. And she's the one who finished college. The one who got married at 16 finished college. The other two got married after quite a while after they had graduated from high school. But the one who got married at 16 is still married to the same person and has a beautiful child, and she and her husband both finish college. So you can't decide or predict ahead of time what's going to happen, because quite naturally everyone expected her to drop out of school, and possibly him too, but they both did. They both worked. Both my son-in-law and my daughter worked full time.
Good morning.
How are you? They worked full time and went to school full time. I think my daughter's paying for it, but her health has suffered from it. My son-in-law's tired all the time, but they both survived. I don't recommend that. I think a part-time job and school full-time is good, but a full-time, I tried to discourage them, but they both wanted to get on their own, as soon as possible.
What was it like for you when your daughters left home?
Well, actually, they really didn't leave home that much. The oldest daughter had three children, living right next door to us, and then eventually they bought a home, and they don't live too far away. And she and her husband had a business, and I used to have the children all the time. So it really wasn't, except for the daughter that married and went to Canada, there really was very little separation. My youngest daughter still lives, right next door. And, so it's there never was a separation as to that degree, except for the one. Canada is a long ways from here.
Did she move right away to Canada?
No, they didn't. She got married here, and they lived around a fairly close Culver City. And her husband was one of the first ones to take on the draft thing, and that's how come they went to Canada. Of course, he was a Canadian. Of Canadian born anyway. And her second husband is Canadian born too. And then she's back in Canada again. But that's the only one that went any distance.
Did you Are they involved in activities other than their work and at home?
No.
Politically active in anything?
No, they're not. Much to my dismay, but they're not. They reflect their father's attitude more than their mother's. They're supportive for me, but as far as no, they don't.
If you were raising them now, or in the last,
I would resign. If I were raising a child in this day and age, I would just resign from motherhood right there. I would say it would be a much more difficult job to try to project the values that I feel are important, that I think through the ages have always proven to be important in the outside pressures that they're exposed to, the children are exposed to now, young people are exposed to. It would be a very difficult job. And I really feel for parents nowadays.
Do you think there are things that you would do differently with them than you did with?
Well, there's no way to say I would have my knowledge and experience at the age I was when I was raising the children, but I'm sure, yes, there are things I could have done better. And I'm sure that I would have, had I the experience and the knowledge that I have now, I'm sure I would have, but I'm just very grateful that we had no problems and they turned out quite well. I'm very satisfied with the family. We had no problems, any degree, just a normal teenage moods and rebellions that everybody suffers that has children of that age. Well, most everyone.
Two of them have close. I assume that you have a lot of contact with them.
Oh, yes. I guess I tell them wouldn't care who moves away. I just want my granddaughter to stay. She says she would stay, too. They talk from time to time of, you know, making changes, but I don't think they really want to. See, the youngest, both she and her husband grew up right here, and they have, you know, their roots. And also they, fortunately, maybe through my influence, they don't have the desire of, you know, flight from the community. They do feel that they should stay here. We should all hang in as long as we can and hang on to what was here and try to make it better. They need a larger house, so eventually I'm sure there'll be some change made there, but we'll probably be forced out, you know, just families like us will be forced out of this section of Venice before they're ready to move to larger quarters.
Your price increasing?
Oh, real estate. The inflation here is unbelievable. And most of the persons buying real estate are, you know, real estate interests for development. I mean, there's very few people planning a permanent home in this little section around here. The homeowners are going fast. Well, most people can't resist that inflated price. But if you stop and think a little bit, it's inflated wherever you're going to go to buy. And a lot of people have said they were sorry that they sold, because it really, they didn't, financially, they didn't better themselves a whole lot. And their houses got robbed in the new area, too. So a lot of people left, you know, because of the crime. That chased more people out of here, I guess. At one time, it was the high taxes were forcing, especially your older people, to make sure.
How has life been different for you since your husband retired?
Well, there really isn't that much change. He keeps very busy, and so do I. We don't see much of each other, but we never did, so I don't see a whole lot of difference.
I wondered if he was around more, and that is, you know, whether that...
Not really. He keeps very busy. Well, I'm not around, so, you know, I'm gone most of the time, so... Not a lot of change, no. Just in the income, that would be the biggest change, yeah.
Do you Is that hard?
Not really. He has a good retirement plan from Douglas. Social Security, and then he works, he does leather work. Plus other little things. He keeps busy all the time, and so do I.
What do you spend your time like now? Your free time?
Well, I really have very little free time. Most of my time is spent right here in this place. And then we have my mother's home up in Elsinore, which I maintain that somehow or the other inherited that responsibility. And I spend most of my time with this youngster that he came to my house when he was 7 days old, and I more or less raised him. In fact, I had him for about 5 years as mine. And he goes with me. He's 13 now. And we go up there and, you know, we plant trees and water and keep the place going over there. What free time I have. And the rest of the time I'm here working, except for a few hours that I sleep. And of course, I'm very active in the state organization's activities. They have a lot of activities that we have to participate in, and that takes up every little, you know, extra minute that I have.
What kinds of things do you do on the state level?
Well, you know, we have conventions and meetings, state board meetings, and we have a convention once a year, and we go, our volunteers, our board, and sometimes some of the employees, you know, I'm the only employee, go, they have a bingo, they run a bingo every Friday, we go there to work in the bingo, and we go there for other activities that they have to help them to. And we go to a lot of meetings over there.
Is there still resistance to you being a woman director here?
Well, really, I don't think, no, I don't really, I don't think there ever was.
You talked about that they hesitated to hire you.
Well, what we did was we just got rid of all of those. We just got rid of all the resistance. It was an all-male thing when I came in, but the reason I'm here is because everything had gone downhill. The funds were cut off. The credit union was closed. There were a lot of bills to be paid, and the males just couldn't cut it. Yes, I had a difficult time getting them to let me take on this assignment. It was very difficult because they felt a woman could not handle the job. They had at least four, after the problems developed, they had at least four male directors before they had me, and the problem just got worse. And they realized that they had to do something, so through the influence, I guess, of the women in the organization, they finally consented to give me a chance. And I'm still here, and the credit union is open, and we've expanded to a lot of other programs, and all the bills are paid. But yes, at that time, but they were not allowed by the funding source. The ones who were here, the board members, and the ones who were in charge here, were not allowed to continue. We had to select an all-new board, and we had a very difficult time getting male board members. We did have, at that time, we used to, I think women are a lot more sympathetic or broad-minded about things like that, and we tried very hard to have a balanced board with male and female, but the male just didn't work out. They did not attend the meetings. They were of absolutely no value, so we didn't feel any need to keep a person, whether they were male or female, who were not functioning on the board, because at that time we needed a lot of a strong board and, you know, an active board and a lot of support for the project here to continue to receive the funds, which would have been very difficult to run the place without funds, especially at that time when everything else was all depleted and... Yes, but right, very rapidly, in fact, I think at the next election, we elected a female president of the board, and for a while, all the board members were female. We now have a male who doesn't bother him at all. He's a younger a younger male, and he's very happy with us and very active and certainly very supportive. He understands his role on the board is to, you know, assist the organization, not necessarily who's in charge, and it's working out very well. And we are going to have to make some board changes, and we hope to have another male board member. That would be two out, five females and two males. But I don't think the sex should make any difference. It should be the performance. We should rate on the performance, not the sex. But yes, it was difficult.
Was it difficult connecting with the community because you're a woman in this position?
Oh, yes. Since most of our clients are, I mean, in the role of the job here, I think you're talking about, because most of the large majority of the clients, of course, are Latin and males. And yes, I think they have accepted it. I think everybody does if eventually. But I would say yes. I certainly we had a hard time at first. Sometimes they would even ask for a male to serve their purpose, whatever they came for, whatever their problem that they came in for. The staff is very well balanced, so I don't think they felt, they got over their feelings. Some of them were very abusive in a sense, that they didn't feel that a woman could perform this, whatever it was that they needed done. But evidently they needed the service bad enough that they got to the point where they didn't care whether it was male or female as long as they got the service, which we certainly produced here. Yes, there was a lot of that at first. Overall, there was a lot. You know, it's hard to overcome that, the image that the male has to be the head of everything. Yes. I only remember the good things, the good part of it. I had really forgotten how difficult a time that myself and Mrs. Rivas, the board president, had when we first came in here. It was quite difficult, as you remember back. But I have a tendency to put the bad things aside and focus on the good things, and there were a lot more good things, I guess, than bad here. So, yes, I had forgotten how difficult it was when we first started out with women trying to run it, where it had been very much male-dominated, the whole organization. Fortunately, in this case, we had a lot of support from the state president, who I would like for you to meet, Mr. Rios, because he has always promoted the woman's interest, and he's not a young person. Mr. Rios is, he'd probably kill me for saying that, but he's retirement age or getting close to it. So he's not a young person, but he has always had that attitude, and he's always... since he became the state president, he was very supportive of me in this situation, and of the board, the woman board president. In fact, the CSO has a policy now, where each year they honor, they name a woman of the year in CSO over the statewide, and they present an award to a female who has produced. Well, whatever it is they give awards for, you know, they feel that you've done more than what was ordinarily expected, I guess, is the way it should be put, maybe. But he was very supportive, and of course still is and still promotes. It never bothered him that we were an all-female board over here. It never at all. He was very proud and very supportive. And in his organization, the thing that he has direct control of, he has always, since he became the state president, supported the interest of the women and acknowledged their contributions. And there's never been any, I would say he was one of the first supporters of Women's Lib. I don't know whether consciously or unconsciously, whether it's just his nature, but he certainly does, and I have always felt that that was very commendable. In fact, his assistant all through building the state organization, which had gone down to next to nothing when he took it over too, from a conservative. Well, see, when Cesar Chavez left CSO. He left CSO because he could not convince the state board, the persons in control, to focus on the really poor. They wanted more of a professional businessman's type of organization, which is not really the concept that CSO was set up to do, but it sort of took that trend. And until Mr. Rios was elected state president, that was more or less, it was very, very confining to work in, to relate to problems and things like that. CSO did a lot of good things, the beginning of a lot of good things, but they just would not let him. His main interest has always been very poor, and very poor people and farm workers, who are the most neglected majority of poor people in the whole world. And I think he had to leave CSO and go on his own. He could not get the support for that in CSO, and that's why he's no longer with CSO. And sometime after that, Mr. Rios became the state president, and as I say, the organization has really moved and will continue to move as long as Mr. Rios has the strength, and I'm sure he'll remain as state president because I don't know of anyone who could replace him. And I would say if and when he gets ready to leave, he would probably be replaced by a female, and he would be the one who would have set this up. Yes, was a female, a young female who is very responsible for the success of CSO. And always, his sister was very active. He's always supported the woman's role in whatever, in anything.
Something I didn't ask you was whether or not there were ever the same kinds of problems that you had around being a woman.
Well, I'm sure there's resentment. I would say so, yes. Nothing, you know, very... I don't think at this time that anyone resents the fact, but I think at the time I came in, I'm sure everyone would have preferred a Latin. I would say so. I'm sure everyone would have. But I think as time went by, I think people are willing to accept more so the person that does the job rather than to go further. I think people come here for a service, and if they get the service, they're satisfied. You know, the satisfactory service, they're satisfied with it. And I don't feel that, and we do have some of the families that we started with are still coming in here. And I think that it was an education for them and for the rest of us, too, but I don't feel that they have that attitude now. They depend on me. They know that I'll produce and that I'm here to help them, that their interest is my interest. But if you want to put it down to the line, I'm sure they would prefer to have a Latin instead of me. I'm sure they would. Maybe not 100%, I don't know. But yes, that was a problem too. As I say, some of the males were very, very hard to deal with, which is to be expected, you know, the background. As I say, some of them come in and ask for a male too. Now we have a female attorney here. We've always had male attorneys. Volunteer attorneys have always been males to date. Now we have a female attorney, and most of them would prefer one of the males. Or that we have a male attorney that speaks Spanish. Only one that speaks Spanish. He's not Latin, but he does speak Spanish. Now I see them when they first came in trying to maneuver because we have to divide up the clients according. You know, we can have one attorney with 50 people waiting, and the other one sitting over there waiting, you know, just twiddling their thumbs. But I see now that they're asking for Susan. So I think, you know, people, you know, it's a little education for them too, that the male is not always, the female may have maybe more of their interest, or maybe be willing to work harder in their interest. But it's there. There, we can't deny it. I see that, Susan. I don't want Susan. I want, Is she a woman, you know? You say Susan, well, it's hardly a male's name, and nope, they're going to take, so any little change where the woman steps forward, I think there's a little, but it more, I think it's easier and easier, it's being accepted more and more, I don't think you have, but now that you brought up the subject, I noticed that with Susan when she first came in, but gradually that is disappearing, because she is a very capable attorney and much more dedicated than one of the males. The other male attorney, we don't have that often. There's no one that can go beyond Mr. Siegel's dedication to helping poor people. He's outstanding. But we don't have him that often. But Susan is a very, in fact, one thing I think in her favor, one plus in her favor, is that they had the housing. She was working with the housing, oh, good heavens sake, I forgot the name of what they call it. It's got a, you know, a name to it. And a lot of them took their housing problems down there. She is the one who really went after and got results for them. And, you know, once people, yeah, as I say, it's an education. Once you can change their thinking around with a few facts, and especially when it involves them personally and they have benefited from it, I think people take a, you know, they rearrange their thinking a little bit. And that's that with Susan, when they realize that this is the same Susan that was now at the housing and helped so much with the, because there were a lot of evictions here, a lot of illegal raising of rents and things like that. And she was there as a volunteer there, too. She's just an outstanding person, a very nice person. So I think it's still hard for the female, but I think it's people are beginning to accept. And maybe, I would say it would be at least another 20 years before, and then no one, as the younger ones, go up and get positions of authority, and that there wouldn't, you know, that no one would even think. They would be surprised that back in the old days that people, you know, actually felt that way, that the woman was a second-class citizen. Because it was very hard for me to accept when I got up to voting age that here, you know, we didn't allow women to vote way back, not that far back really for me, but it seemed a long way from you. And I was really amazed. I said, imagine, you know, not letting the women vote. What in the world? And I'm sure that the young people coming up now will be saying, don't tell me now, at one time you didn't have women this, that, and the other. And women are all over the place. So we have progressed a little bit in some respects, and hopefully it will continue. And I certainly commend the women who were responsible for getting it started, and I think we should go back to Eleanor Roosevelt. I think she had a lot to do with paving the way. Maybe she didn't realize what she was doing at that time. But I certainly do, and I think there's been a lot of change, positive change for the women. And I'm glad now that both the boys and the girls wear the same jeans and all that. I think that's very important. I know it's important to the manufacturers and the sellers of jeans, but I think it's a step forward for us, too. So every little bit, you know, links together eventually, and there is some kind of positive change. I don't know about the, how is it now, bisexual restrooms. I don't know how that's going to work.